This is a B'kiyus recording for Maseches Sukkah Dav Vav Amud Aleph. We're continuing on Hey Amud Beis towards the very bottom, and we're picking it up from the statement Shi'urin Chatzitzin U'mechitzin Alech L'Moshe Misinai. So Gemara says, wait a second, Shi'urin D'Oraisa Ninhu. So Shi'urin, how could you say that it's Alech L'Moshe Misinai? It's D'Oraisa. Now, to be clear, Alech L'Moshe Misinai is also De'oraisa. It just means that Alech L'Moshe Misinai is not written explicitly in the Torah. It was an oral tradition given to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is something that's written in the Torah, Dichsiv. And we quote the very famous pasuk, Eretz Chito Sa'ora V'gefen Oseinu V'rimon, Eretz Eishemun U'dvash. So it lists off the seven species that for which Eretz Yisrael is known for in the Torah. V'amar Avchanin, Kol ha-pasuk hazeh l'shi'urin ne'emar. We're supposed to learn various Torah sizes from this pasuk. Now we'll explain each, different halachas in the Torah have different amounts or sizes that you have to accomplish or avoid in order to be yotzei the mitzvah or chayev for, as we'll see. So this is all based on the pasuk of Eretz Chito Sa'ora. How so? So let's see the different cases over here. So chita lebayis hamenuga. So chita is teaching us one of the halachos related to a house that has tzara'as. It's called lebayis hamenuga d'tnan. We have the following mishnah in Maseches Negoim. So hanichnas lebayis hamenuga. If a person walks into a house that has tzara'as v'kelev al kisefav, he's not wearing all of his clothing, he's carrying some of his clothing. Let's say he's wearing whatever clothing he's wearing, and he has a jacket that's strewn over his shoulder, and he has something else. He has a scarf that he took off and put it on his shoulder. V'sandala v'taba'osa v'yado, and he's not even wearing his shoes. He's holding his shoes and his rings in his hand. See over here that men used to wear rings. Huvehein temein miyad, he and they, meaning he and the clothing that he's carrying, are immediately tamei, because he walked into a bayis hamenuga, which is a tamei house, and they're going to Vav Amud Aleph now. But hayalavush kelev v'sandala v'raglav, if he was wearing all of his clothing and his shoes were on his feet, v'taba osav be'etzva osav, and his rings were on his fingers, hu tamei miyad, he, the person, becomes tamei, v'hein tahorin, but the clothing and the jewelry remain tahor, ad sheyishe b'gdei achilas pras. He has to remain in the room, in the bayis hamenuga, for this time that it takes to eat a pras. It takes to eat about a half a loaf of bread. And what kind of bread are we talking about over here? So, pas chitin velo pas seor. We're talking about wheat bread and not barley bread. Barley bread was nasty. It was considered a meichel behema barley. It wasn't usually used to make bread. And it's much more coarse and it took a longer time to eat it. So, pas chitin is the type of bread that we eat. It's a lot easier to eat. It goes down smoothly. And therefore, that's the amount of time, anywhere between 3 and 9 minutes, generally speaking, opi halacha. Depending on the different opinions you accept, but that's the time of Kedei Achilas Pras, and it's specifically for referring to wheat bread. And not only that, but the Gemara explains further, or the Mishnah, sorry, Mesev V'Ochel B'Liftan. It's talking about if he's reclining, meaning eating casually, and he's eating them with dip, like with hummus or whatever else they used to eat back in the day, and so he's eating it at a casual pace. So that's where you get your various possible time frames. So that is what we learn from Chita. The time of Kedei Achilas Pras refers to wheat bread, not barley bread. So what does Seora teach us? Titnan, etzem kisseora metame b'maga uvamasa ve'eno metame ba'ohel. Let's say there's a bone of a dead body, and it's very small. It's the size of a barley. I don't know if you guys know exactly the size of a barley, but you can pretty much figure it's a tiny little thing. So let's say you have a tiny little bone chip over there. So it's the size of a barley if you pick it up or you lift it. Now, how do you lift something without picking it up? Let's say it's in a bag. Let's say it's on the top of a piece of paper, something like that. You pick up the piece of paper. That's called masa, and you become tamei tumas meis if you touch it or if you pick it up. But if it's in the same room as you, under the same roof as you, if you're on top of it, if it's on top of you, then it's not metame. That's called tumas ohel. It doesn't make you tame in such a way. That is what we learn from Seora. Gefen, what do we learn from the grapes, the vines? Kidei revius yayin lenazir. It teaches us this year that if a nazir drinks a revius of wine, let's say for argument's sake about 4 ounces of wine, so he is chayiv for that, and he breaks his nazirus. Te'ena What do we learn from the case of the fact that it says a fig? Kigrogeres lahotsoas hashabbos. So you have something called a grogeres, which is a dried fig, and that is the general shear for carrying something on Shabbos. Like, let's say you walk out of your house on Shabbos and there's some lint in your pocket. That is not the shear of carrying. Other items, as many Mishnayos in Masechta Shabbos that deal with the size of the item. So certain things, let's say, for example, if you have a needle that's used for knitting, so it's very small. It's much smaller than a grogeres, but still you're chayav for carrying it because that's the size of it. But when you're dealing with certain items that, like, they're small amounts, so how much of the amount adds up till it's enough that you consider to be carrying? So that's the general idea of a grogeres, that size of that particular fig. Rimon, what do we learn from the halachos of shiurim when it comes to rimon? Ditznan, because we have the following mishnah. Kol klei bale batim shiurim kirimonim. So in those days, people were not very wealthy, and if they got a hole in a kli, then it would still be usable up until it couldn't be used for anything anymore. So the biggest hole that would, the kli would be considered completely unusable. Now, this is relevant for halachas of tumah and tara, that once the kli is deemed unusable, even if it was tummy before, it's no longer tummy because it's considered broken. So if it has a hole the size of a pomegranate, which is a really big hole, you can't really put anything in there anymore. So in those days, the biggest thing that they had lying around that would be put inside a kli was a pomegranate. And if the holes are already bigger than a pomegranate, then the kli is completely useless and it is tahor. What's the next thing? Eretz Zeis Shemen, right? We have the Eretz Zeis Shemen. So Eretz Shekol Shiurel Kezaisim. So we learn from the word Zayas over there that all of the Shiurim are Kezayas, right? Kol Shiurel Al Kadaita. What do you mean all of them? Ha'ika Hani Damrino. We just listed a whole bunch. So Ela Ema Sherov Shiurel Kezaisim. No, it's the land where most of the Shiurim are Kezayas. And what's the last thing? Devash, honey. So again, it's not talking about bee honey, it's talking about kikoseva sagasa biyom hakipurim. The shear of eating on Yom Kippur is not a kezias, it is a koseva sagasa, which means it's a large dried out date. Okay. So Alma, so we get back to our question, which is Alma, we see from this Brisa de Oraisa Ninu that these shiurim are de Oraisa, they're in the Torah. So Gemara says, what? Says Vitizbra, you think the Shiurim Miksive, are they really written into the Torah? Like, we just read that into the Pasuk, but it's not what says, it just lists off a bunch of items. So he says, Ela Hilchasan Ninu, rather the real source is Allah Moshe Misinai. It was an oral tradition given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Vikras Machtaba Almahu, and the Psukim were just used as a way to remind ourselves of the Halacha Moshe Misinai. It's not the Ikar Pshat in the Pasuk per se. Chatzitzin de oraisinu. Now the next thing. We said shiurin chatzitzin umechitzin. So what are chatzitzas? Chatzitza means when you go to the mikvah, especially nowadays relevant for women, but back in the day it was relevant for men as well. If you're really trying to become tahor on a deraisa level, so you have to make sure there is no separation between your body and the water of the mikvah. So chatzitzin de oraisinu. So we say, what are you talking about? A chatzitza, not having something between your body and the water, that's also in the Torah. How so? Dechsev v'rochatz es bisaro b'mayim, right? Or maybe take those words es bisaro out. So v'rochatz b'mayim. So what does it mean? He should wash himself in water, meaning go to the mikvah. Shelo yehe davar chotzitz beino levein amayim. Obviously, there can't be anything separating between him and the water. No, ki asoi hilchasa l'sa'aro. It's talking about there can't even be a chatzitza between his hair and the water. Kidraba bar barchana, like Rabba Barachana said, to Am Rabba Barachana, Nima Achas Kishura Chotzetis. Let's say you have one hair, you have fairly long hair, so it's possible to tie it into a knot. So if you have one hair that's tied into a knot, that's going to be a very tight knot, and it's going to prevent the water from touching the entirety of the hair, because the knot is usually watertight. Shalosh Einon Chotzitzot. If there's three hairs tied together, that knot will be a little looser and probably water can get in there, and therefore it's not going to create a chatzitza. Shtayim Eini Yodea. Right? So two, I'm not sure. It's a hard call to make. Is that considered a chatzitza or not? That's why nowadays when a woman goes to the mikvah, she always combs out her hair to make sure there are no knots in her hair because of the chatzitza problem. So now the Gemara answers, no. Saro nami del reisaninu. Dechsev rachatas es bisaro b'mayim. So he says, what are you talking about? It's not a lachul oshimisina that teaches us his hair, because that's also in the Torah. Where do we learn that from the Torah? Because it says you'll wash es bisaro b'mayim. Es Hatofel libis saro. So we're darshaning the word s over there to say that which is secondary to his flesh, meaning the hair. Umaninu saro. That's referring to his hair. So the hair is secondary to the flesh, and therefore that is also alluded to in the text of the Torah. So it's not really. It's not really considered halacha moshe misin. All right, we're going to have to clarify this as we go, but we'll leave it over here for now and continue Bezrat Hashem soon.